Everyone? Okay, we're holding the last line of Chof Ches Amud Beis. We discussed yesterday the point about whether mitzvah tzriches kavana. When you're doing the action of a mitzvah, do you have to have kavana that you're being yotz of the mitzvah? So we said that Avod Shmuel was told that you don't, when it comes to eating matzah, that even if Goyim forced a person to eat matzah, that he's still yotzer. Rava said by the same token, the same thing would apply to Tkiyas Shofar, that if you heard Shofar, even if you didn't know, as long as you knew it was the sound of a Shofar, even if you didn't know, even if you didn't have in mind to be yotzer, then you're still yotzer. So now continuing on that topic, the Gemara says, Omale Reb Zeira L'Shamei, Reb Zeira says to his Shamash, Ikavin utkali, have kavana to blow for me, to be moti me, and then blow shofar for me. Alma kasava mashmiya boi kavana, which shows, therefore, that Reb Zeira holds that at least the one who's sounding the shofar has to have kavana for to be moti everybody else. The Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction. Now, our Mishnah had said, Ahoya over achori beis hakneset, if somebody was walking behind the shul, Oshaya Basis Samuch Basak Nessis, or if his house was near the shul, the Shama Kil Shofar Kil Megillah, and he heard the sound of a shofar or Megillah, Im Kivin Liba Yotza. So we said if he had Kavana, then he was Yotza, the Im Lav Lo Yotza, and if not, then he wasn't Yotza. So we said, according to Rava's understanding that mitzvah ain't Tzriches Kavana, we said that Kivin Liba would mean that at least he knows what he's hearing is the sound of the shofar or the sound of the Megillah, and not, for example, that he thinks that it's a donkey bray. But, okay, now let's look at the other side of it. The chikibin libe, my hobby. What good does it do if he has kavana? Heyach loy kamachavin adaiti didei. The other person who's blowing shofar inside the shul has no idea that he's there. So that other person doesn't have him in mind. So how does that help us? Given that we said before that we have to have, so given that Reb Zeira is saying that it's Shamash, now it's Shamash, obviously when he's blowing shofar, is going to be having in mind to do the mitzvah. But Reb Zeira is telling him that he has to have also in mind to be motzi him, Reb Zeira. So how does that fit with our Mishnah? The answer is Hoch b'shliach tziburaskin, and the answer is in the Mishnah, we're talking about the chazan, or the Baal Tekeya, is blowing for the tzibur. So he has everybody in mind. He doesn't have to have everybody individual in mind. He has in mind, in general, everybody who hears his tkiyas should be yotze. So therefore, this guy is outside the shul. Doesn't matter. He's still yotze. The Gemara says, though, Toshma. Well, again, let's bring a proof from a braisa that we quoted yesterday. Niskaven shemeya v'le niskaven mashmiya. If the one who's hearing the shofar had kavana, but the one who's sounding the shofar did not, or niskaven mashmiya v'le niskaven shemeya, or vice versa, the one who's sounding the shofar had in mind, but not the one who's hearing, lo yotza, so he's not yotza, ad shiskaven shemeya o mashmiya. Both of them have to have kavana. So katoni mashmiya dumya de shemeya. So therefore, by the braisa is mentioning the mashmiya, the one who's sounding the shofar, in the same breath as the shemeya, as the one who's hearing, implying ma shemeya shemeya la'atmo. When a person hears shofar, he's hearing it for himself. Af mashmiya mashmiya la'atmo. So the implication then is that the mashmiya is also, he's being mashmiya for himself, for himself to be yotze. Vikatoni lo yotza, and we're saying that it doesn't matter that the other person is not yotza. Now how is that the question? So what exactly is the question? So Hagois Ma Rav Ranschburg on the side brings like this. We're saying apparently what it said, what loy kibin and loy kibin apparently means. So for the shemeya it means that he has in mind to be yotza or not, as the case may be. And the mashmiya also would be whether he has in mind to be yotze or not. But the implication is that if he had in mind for himself, if he was mechaven, then that's good enough, even though he's not having in mind to be motzi the other person. Because after all, the braisa didn't say, and a braisa certainly should be clarifying things more than the Mishnah, and it just said niskaven, presumably meaning that he has kavana for himself to be yotze, just like the shemeya is obviously not being motzi anybody else. His kavana means to be yotze. So therefore, the mashmiya only has to have kavana to be yotze in order for it to work, but he doesn't have to have kavana for the other person. Agos Marav Ranschburg then goes on to mention that the Vilna Goin explains that the question is the fact that it says lo yotza in the singular, he is not Yotze, implying that the Mashmiya, because he didn't have Kavana, is not Yotze, implying that the Shemeya is Yotze, even though the Mashmiya, even though the one who's blowing the shofar, didn't have him in mind. So we see that the Mashmiya doesn't have to have the Shemeya in mind in order for him to be Yotze. So if you have a case, the Mashmiya was blowing the shofar, not intending to be Yotze the mitzvah, nevertheless, it sounds like, it sounds like, okay, the Mashmiya is not Yotze, but it sounds like the Shemeya is Yotze. So the Gemara says, Tanoi. In fact, there's Machlok, there's Tanoim about this. So therefore, so Reb Zera is following one opinion. The Tanya, Shemeya, Shemeya la'atzmo, Mashmiya, Mashmiya l'pidarkoi. Whoever's hearing the shofar hears it for himself. In other words, to have in mind for himself to be Yotze. Or Mashmiya, Mashmiya l'pidarkoi. The one who's sounding the shofar sounds it l'pidarkoi, according to his way, meaning he's blowing for himself. He's blowing for himself, not specifically having the other person in mind, and he's still Yotze. But Rabbi Yossi says, when is that talking about? Only when the Shliach Tzibur, only when the Baal Tekeya is blowing for everybody. But by the Yochid, it's not good enough. If you have one person blowing for another, each of them has to have in mind, the Mashmiya has to have in mind to be Motzi the Shemeya, and the Shemeya has to have in mind to be Yotze from the Mashmiya. So we see there's a machlokas tanoim. The Tanakama doesn't mention this point. He seems to be saying that always the Mashmiya doesn't have to have anything in mind, and that's good enough. Only the Shemeya has to have in mind. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that not that when it's one on one, then you do in fact have to have the Mashmiya has to have in mind to be Motzi the other person as well. So now comes the question, which we started discussing yesterday: what is in fact the halacha about this, about mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not? So we went through an entire omud yesterday discussing Rava's point that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, that it doesn't really matter whether there was kavana to be yotze or not. Nevertheless, you're still yotze because the fact is you heard the shofar. On the other hand, we mentioned the Rambam, for example, seems to say that not. He seems to say that a person is not yotze unless he has in mind. We have here Rav Zera's statement. So there is actually a good deal of discussion among the Rishonim about what the final halacha is. Do we say mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not? The result of that is in Shulchan Aruch you have it brings it first in Hilchos Kriyishma, because you have one of the things we talked about yesterday that you have to have kavana for, that you have to have kavana by is Kriyishma. Now remember that there are different kinds of kavana. There's kavana to know that what you're doing even is the action of mitzvah at all. Like we said yesterday, for example, if you hear shofar and you think that it's the braying of a donkey, then for sure there's no kavana. Then there's no reason to think he's yotze at all. There's the kavana to know that you're doing the mitzvah. And then there's the kavana that you have. Certain, for example, Krishna, yeah, you're supposed to have the kavana. You have to have the kavana in the first pasuk that you're mekabel el malchus shamayim. And then by some other mitzvahs, you also have to have a specific kavana like that. So the kavana we're talking about over here really is the second one, to know that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So you actually have a machlokas rishonim about that. So if a person is saying shema or hearing shofar or eating matzah or what have you, and not having in mind that he's being yotze to the mitzvah, is he in fact yotze? So you have a machlokas about that. The result is that what it says in Shulchan Aruch is, you should do it again if at all possible, but don't say the bracha in case you were yotze the first time. Now, in the case of Shema, for example, a person says the first pasuk of Shema without kavana, he's not yotze anyway. The first pasuk of Shema, you have to have that kavana to be mekabel el malchus shamayim. That's indispensable in the first pasuk. But let's say you could have a person who feels that he's mekabel el malchus shamayim, but he's not taking into consideration that he's being yotze the mitzvah. So then we're saying that he might have been yotze, he might not. Depends which rishon you ask. Therefore, he should say it. Therefore, we're saying that he should say it over again, but not with the brachas in case he was yotze the first time. And similarly with other mitzvahs. Okay. So now the Gemara brings. Now the Mishnah brings a little piece of agadta on this, and it's interesting. By the way, the Mishnah here you have a bit of a rare example where Mishnah has agadta in it. But the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara is not going to expand on that at all. The Mishnah is the Gemara is going to almost ignore that first half of the Mishnah and focus only on the last few lines of it. So the Mishnah says, "Here's an example where you see how kavana is so important." The pasuk says, "By the war against Amalek, that Moshe was sitting over there and davening, and when Moshe was standing originally, and when he lifted up his hands, the Jewish people would win, and when he let down his hands, then the opposite. So with Moshe's hands, do Moshe's hands make or break the war? What are we saying? Rather, what the pasuk comes to tell you is, as long as the Jewish people were looking up to Shemayim, so when they saw Moshe's upraised hand, that caused them to focus on Hashem, to whom Moshe is davening, and they're subjugating their hearts to their Father in heaven, to Hashem. When they have that mentality, then they would be beating Amalek. And if not, then they would fall. So the key thing is not Moshe's hands. The key thing is the kavana that his raising his hands brought out among the Jewish people. A similar kind of thing you have. The pasuk says in Parshas Chukas, you have a story where the Jewish people complained about the mon, and Hashem sent snakes to bite them. So the pasuk says, Hashem told Moshe, make an image of a copper, make an image of a snake. Moshe made it out of copper in the end. The simoy sal nest, and then put it on a pole. Anybody who was bitten by the snake will see this copper snake and live. Again, does a copper snake kill people or make them alive? Ella, what it means is this man shayisrom is stacking klapim myla. Again, what we mean is the snake on the pole was meant to direct them to look upward, from which that would get them to look upward, to look up at Shemayim, and remember about Hashem, or meshabdenas libam rabim shabashmayim, and subjugate their hearts to their Father in heaven. Hoyim esnapin, then they would be cured from the snake bites. Ve'im lab hoyim nimorkim, if not, then they would waste away, and they would they'd continue to suffer the effects of the snake's venom. So we see from this, the Mishnah is saying that you can have an action that's done, but the essential thing is really the kavana behind it, which then ties in to the previous Mishnah, again, that if a person hears the sound of a shofar, he could or could not be yotze, depending on what kavana he has. So again, if we say mitzvah tzrichas kavana, means he needs to have the kavana to actually be yotze. And if you say mitzvah ein tzrichas kavana, means he has to have the kavana to know that what he's hearing is the sound of the shofar or whatever other mitzvah. By the way, we learned about that copper snake back in Pesachim, that eventually there were people who started worshiping it as an Avodah Zarah. So hundreds of years later, Chizkiyahu destroyed it, and that was one of the things that the Chachamim praised him for, that even though it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, but now that it had become used for that, then it was right to destroy it. The Mishnah continues. A cheresh, which throughout Shas, generally a cheresh means a deaf mute, so somebody who was born deaf or became deaf at a young enough age that they never learned to speak either. There is, by the way, a good deal of discussion in Sifrei Halacha of the last 100 years nowadays that they have ways of teaching even congenitally deaf people to speak. Sign language, for example, and lip reading and so on and so forth. Do they still have the same status of a cheresh from the times of the Gemara? That's a whole discussion in itself. But in any case, here, we can even be talking about a cheresh, just a deaf person, because he can't hear the sound of the shofar. Therefore, he himself can't be yotze with his own blast of the shofar. So that's a cheresh. Shoiter, we'll learn in a couple of months in Masechta Chagiga a more focused definition of a shoiter, but it means somebody who's not all there mentally. As a cotton, and they cannot be motzi other people their obligation. So if they blow shofar, other people cannot be yotze from them. Zehaklal, the general rule is, anybody who's not obligated in a certain mitzvah cannot be motzi other people with their obligation. So that applies throughout. We'll learn about it in Megillah, for example, as far as learning Megillah, and there are many other examples throughout Shas. The Gemara says, turn on Abanan. Hakol chayavim b'tkiyas shofar. Everybody is chayav in tkiyas shofar, or not actually in tkiya. You're not actually obligated to blow the shofar, but to hear the sound of the blast of the shofar. Koyanim levim b'yisraelim, geirim va'avodim b'shachronim, v'tumtum v'andreganos. A tumtum is somebody who has, there's a membrane covering his genitals, so you can't tell if he's a male or a female. And androgynous is somebody who has both genitals, male and female. So all of them are chayav in tkiyas shofar. The tumtum because he's a suffix of a male, and the androgynous because to a certain extent he's considered a male in halacha. And also somebody who is half Eved and half free, because after all, half of him is free, and that half is Chayev in Shofar. The point is that women are potter because it's a mitzvah tzeis shazman grama. Avodim Knanim, full Avodim Knanim, would also be potter for the same reason. In general, any mitzvahs that don't apply to women don't apply to Avodim. But now that he's half free, half slave, then he does. How could that be? So one obvious possibility is he was owned by two people jointly, and one of them freed him. The other possibility the Gemara discusses in Gittin is that he bought half his freedom. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Trumtum eni moitzi loyas minoi v'loyas she'eni minoi. A trumtum, blowing shofar, cannot be moitzi another trumtum or anybody else, because another trumtum, the one who's blowing, might turn out, if the membrane is ever ripped open, it turns out that he's a female, turns out that she is a female, that is, and the other one, it may turn out as a male, and a woman can't be moitzi a man, because again, a woman is not chayev and a man is, so therefore, trumtum can't be moitzi anybody else, even another trumtum. On the other hand, androgynous moitzius minoi, an androgynous can be moitzi another androgynous, because however you look at it. If you look at it that because they have male organs, then they're considered males, okay, so it's one man blowing for the other. If you say that you don't look at that, you look at the fact both of them have female organs, okay, well, one woman can blow and be moitzi another woman, neither of them, after all, there's no really to be moitzi, both of them are potter anyhow. The enim avalois she'enim minoi, but an androgynous cannot be moitzi a regular man, because again, the androgynous himself is a suffix, to a certain extent, is a suffix of a man or a woman. There's a perek of brisis that's appended in most editions of Mishnayos at the end of Masechta Bikurim. You have a perek over there which originally comes from a brisa, which goes through systematically. There are things in which an androgynous is like a man, things in which he's like a woman, things in which he's like both, and things in which he's like neither. So this is an example. Mi shechetzi eved b'chetzi ben chodin, and somebody who is half slave and half free, ene motzi lo yasmine ve lo yasheine minoi, he also can't be motzi anybody else, because after all, half of him is still an eved, and that half can't be motzi a ben chodin. We're going to discuss later down on the Omud, can he be motzi himself with blowing shofar, but at least he certainly can't be motzi anybody else, because then the part of him that's an eved can't be motzi the other person who's a ben chodin. Thus far the Braisa, now let's analyze it. We said, everybody is chayev, and we started giving a list, including koinim, levim, yisraelim. Obviously they're chayev. Who else is going to be chayev in kiyas shofar if not them? Why even bother to mention? The Gemara says, you're right, but koinim is tzrichalei. The chiddush is not so much on the levim and yisraelim, the chiddush is that koinim are chayev. And once we're mentioning koinim, we're mentioning the other ones as well. Why is it such a chidush? Sakadai dechamina, you would have thought otherwise. How does the Torah describe Rosh Hashanah? It says it should be a day of shofar blowing for you. So man delese ele b'tkiyah dechad yoymahud mechayev. You would think, therefore, only people who are mechoyev in the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar one day a year are the ones who are chayev on that one day, on Rosh Hashanah. V'hani koyanim, but now when it comes to the koyanim, they are obligated in Tkiyas the entire year round. They have a mitzvah in the Torah that whenever an oilo or a shlomim are being brought, the korbanos tzibur, then they have to blow chatzotzeres. So they're always blowing Tkiyas throughout the whole year. So you would think maybe they're not chayev on Rosh Hashanah, kamash malan, and therefore the Braisa has to tell us that nevertheless they are. Says, be dummy. How are you comparing? The mitzvah is not to blow with a shofar the rest of the year. The mitzvah the rest of the year is to blow with chatzotzeres, the silver trumpets. So one has nothing to do with the other. Why would we think that because they have a mitzvah of blowing silver trumpets throughout the year, that now we would have thought that they're potter from blowing the shofar from the horn of an animal on Rosh Hashanah, such that we need the Braisa to tell us otherwise? So it can't be that's the point of the Braisa. Ella, no. The Gemara says, there's a different reason why we need to mention. And now the answer that we're going to give applies not only to Koyanim, but also Levim. Sakadad Chamina, you would think like this. Hoyolotnan, we learned a few Mishnayos ago, Shava HaYovel or Rosh Hashanah L'Kiyav L'Brachas, the Yovel, Yom Kippur of Yovel, when there's also a mitzvah to blow Shofar, Ta'avidu Shofar B'chol Arzachem, and in fact, in the next parak, we're going to learn that we learn a number of the dinim of Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur of Yovel from each other through Gzeira Shava. So it says over there, you have to blow, so you have a mitzvah blowing shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, and the blowing of Yovel is the same L'Rashana, is the same as Rosh Hashanah, L'Tkiyah V'L'Brachas, as far as the sequence of sounds that you have to hear, Tkiyah Trua, Tkiyah three times, and as far as the Brachas that you say in Shemoneh Esrei, Malchus, Zechorinus, and Shofaris. So now you would think that means Man De'Isei B'Mitzvah Sayovel, Isei B'Mitzvah the Rosh Hashanah, only somebody who is fully Chayev in the mitzvahs of Yovel is also chayev in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, of blowing shofar. Vahani koyanim. So now the koyanim, and not only the koyanim, actually also the levim. And in fact, there is such a girsa that mentions levim as well. So koyanim and levim, hovel lesnu b'mitzvah de Yovel. Now they do not fully have the dinim of Yovel. We have to give a little bit of background. Rashi, you can see there's a long Rashi on this that explains like this. First of all, there are different girsois over here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you have like this. A Yisrael, when a Yisrael sells property in Eretz Yisrael, then you have certain rules about it. This was just in Shloisha Parakim of Rambam yesterday and continuing today. That, first of all, if a Yisrael sells a field, he can't buy it back within 2 years. Even if both of them agree, he's not allowed to buy it back within 2 years. And both of those years have to be years when there are crops, not, for example, if one of them was a Shemitah year, or, for example, if one of them was a year of drought or what have you, etc. Then the din is, though, if he didn't buy it back by Yovel, he gets it back, fine. Then you have a din that if a Yisrael sells a house in a walled city, he has 1 year to buy it back. And if he doesn't buy it back within that 1 year, then it belongs to the other guy permanently. He doesn't even get it back in Yovel. Then you also have a din as far as Hektish. If a Yisrael is Machdish, a Sdei Achuza, a field that he inherited from his ancestors, then if he buys it back from Hektish before Yovel, then good, he has it back. If not, if it's still in Hektish, come Yovel, then it goes to the Kohanim who are in the Mishmar on duty of Yom Kippur of that Yovel. Now, all of those dinim apply to Yisraelim. Levium are different. Levium and Kohanim are different. If a Levi sells a field, or if a Kohen or a Levi sells a field, he's allowed to buy it back anytime. He doesn't have to wait for 2 years. If they don't buy it back by Yovel, they get it back. Fine, that's the same for everybody. A house in a walled city, a Levi and a Kohen and a Levi are not limited to the 1 year. They can buy it back anytime. And if a Kohen or a Levi is Makdish, a Sdei Achuza, a field that they inherited, they don't. It doesn't get taken away from them by Yovel. So we see, in other words, that not all that it goes back to them by Yovel. So we see that some of the dinim of Yovel don't apply to Kohanim and Levim. So Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Erchin, Kohanim Levim mochrin la'olam begoyin la'olam. Kohanim and Levim can always sell and they can always redeem. So the always sell is not really necessary. Of course, they can always sell. Anybody can always sell. The chiddush is, in other words, that they're able to be goyil, their field or their house, whenever they want. They don't have the concept that they can't buy it back within 2 years, and the concept that they can't, and the concept that a bote or a choyma is lost to them after 1 year. None of that applies to them. Rashi brings a girsa from one of his Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi, that they're quoting a different Mishnah in Erchin that says Makdishin la'olam v'goyim la'olam, that the Kohanim and Levim are able to be Makdish always, and they can be Goyim always. In other words, the same idea, like we said, they can be Makdish their field, and they never lose it by Yovel. It's always going to go back to them. So Rashi discusses what the reasons would be why to have the one girsa versus another. Tosfos also discusses it. The point is, in other words, however we look at it, that not all the dinim of Yovel apply to Kohanim and Levim. So now that you say that, so aim of the mitzvah the Rosh Hashanah loy l'chayvu. So you would think that maybe they're not chayiv in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah of Tkiyas Shofar, because again we're saying that where are we learning some of the dinim of Tkiyas Shofar of Rosh Hashanah is from Yom Kippur of Yovel. Kamash Mulan, therefore the Braisa tells us, nevertheless, the fact is they are chayiv in the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. They do have to hear Shofar. Rashi brings a girsa that he had in front of him, which he doesn't like, is that after all there's a reason for that, because even though Hashmatas Karkois doesn't apply to them, but they still have other aspects of Yovel, including Hashmatas Ksofim and Shiluach Avodim, that the loans are forgiven and Avodim are sent away. Rashi says, I don't like that girsa, because what do you mean? The fact is that they do have Hashmatas Karkois. After all, if a Kohen buys a field from a Yisrael, he has to return it in Yovel. All it is we're saying that some of the dinim don't apply to their detriment, that they don't lose their field if they donate it to Hekdesh and didn't buy it back before Yovel, they get it back. And their Boter Erechoma, they get back even after a year, etc. But after all, they themselves have to be Mashmit Karka. So therefore, Rashi says there's no reason to be Goyis that whole line. Tosfos also discusses it and says, okay, Ashmatas Karka means, in other words, the fact that you lose your field if you donated it to Hekdesh and didn't buy it back and the Gizbo sold it to somebody else. So we would say it's true. Ashmatas Karka doesn't apply to the Kohenim and Leviim because they don't lose it. They're able to buy it back from the other person afterwards, and it remains there, or from Hekdesh afterwards, and it remains by them. Tosfos also points out, though, that at any rate, why are we mentioning Ashmatas Ksufim? The fact is, Shmitas Ksufim does not apply during Yovel. That only applies during Shmita. In any case, the point is, Rashi is not Goris that whole line, so therefore there's nothing to talk about. Tosfos says that maybe we all Goris it, but then there's problems with some parts of it. All right, and anyway, the point is that Kohenim and Leviim, even though the dinim of Yovel don't fully apply to them like the way they do to Yisraelim, nevertheless, we're still saying enough of the dinim of Yovel applied, or not even. The fact is that the dinim of Rosh Hashanah applied to them, and they still have to hear Shofar. Maybe because some of the dinim of Yovel apply to them, maybe not. Doesn't really matter. The fact is, it is true that some of the dinim of Yovel apply to them. Okay. Then we said in the Braisa, "Mi shechetzi eved vechetzi ben choren enim motzi loyas minay veloyas she'enim minay." We said that somebody who's half slave and half free cannot be motzi anybody else with blowing shofar. Amar Rav Huna ula atzmei motzi. So Rav Huna says that he could be motzi himself by blowing shofar. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman says, why? My shnola achirim deloy. Why is it when you agree, because the Braisa says, after all, when it comes to blowing shofar for other people, he can't. And the reason is deloy osi tzad avdos amapak tzad achirus, because the half of him that's an eved cannot be moitzi the half or the whole of the other person who is a ben chorin. Well, la'atmei nami, for himself also, you have the same problem. Loy osi tzad avdos today. After all, half of him himself is an Eved. But all of him is participating in the blowing of the shofar. So it comes out that you have the Eved part of him is helping to be Motzi the Ben Chorin part, and you can't do that. So why are you saying that it would work? Elo, Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, yeah, Af La'atmei Ein Motzi. In fact, he can't be Motzi himself either. Necessarily, the Schetzi Eved, the Chetzi Ben Chorin, is going to have to hear shofar blowing from somebody else. The Gemara says, Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. He cannot be motzi anybody. He cannot even be motzi himself, because again, half of him is an eved. So of necessity, then he has to hear shofar from somebody else. Okay. Since we're talking about being motzi people, and we said in the Mishnah that anybody who is not chayev in something cannot be motzi other people. So let's talk about that a little bit in the context of other kinds of brachas. Toni ava breidir abzera. Ava, the son of Rav Zeira, taught a braisa. Kola brachas kolon afa pishe yotzav moitzi. With all brachas, for example, brachas on mitzvahs, even if a person was already yotze, he can be moitzi other people. So let's say, for example, blowing shofar. A person already heard shofar in shul. Later in the day, he's going on mitzvahim and finds somebody who hasn't heard shofar yet and blows shofar for them. He can make the brachas again. Because he was already yotze, doesn't matter. Ko Yisrael, or even Zelazeh, and therefore he still has, like in a certain sense, in other words, his fulfillment of the mitzvah is incomplete as long as somebody else has not heard it. Therefore, he can make the bracha again. By the way, there is a good deal of discussion. There is a machlokas we've shown him. Since we said before women aren't chayev, there's a machlokas we've shown him in several places in Shas. Can women make the brachas on mitzvahs that they're not chayev in? The Rambam holds no, because that would be a bracha levatola. They're not chayiv. What are they saying? A shekhar shonim mitzvah. On the other hand, Tosfos in several places discusses that they could if they want to. We're just saying they're not chayiv. That results in, so now when it comes to, if you're blowing shofar for women or doing other mitzvahs for women that they're not chayiv in, can you say the bracha for them? According to Tosfos, yes. According to the Rambam, no. So it comes out, down to now, you have a machlokas, you have the machaber and the ramah have the same machlokas, the machaber going according to the Rambam, the ramah going according to Tosfos. The result is that, for example, when you're going on mitzvah shofar, if you're blowing for an Ashkenazi woman, then no problem. You can, yeah, it's still better she should say the brachas, but if not, then you can say for her. But if you're blowing for a sfaradiyah, she can't say the brachas herself, and you can't, and you shouldn't say for her because it might be a bracha levatala. If you have a mixed group, of course, then the Ashkenazis will say the bracha, or you'll say it on their behalf, and you'll be fine. So anyway, so with birkas and mitzvahs, you could be motzi other people, even though you were already yotzi yourself. Chutzmi birkas alechem or birkas. So that's when it comes to brachas in general. The Ava is saying chutzmi birkas alechem or birkas ayayim, with the exception of the bracha hamotzi and the bracha on wine, and in general any other birkas ananin and brachas on fragrances, because those, what it is you have different categories of brachas. You have those birkas and mitzvahs, where we say we're thanking Hashem for giving us this mitzvah. You have birkas ananin, where you're enjoying something from Hashem's world, and you're not allowed to enjoy anything from Hashem's world without making a bracha on it. So now there's no arevus in that. If I'm eating bread and making hamotzi on it, you have no arevus in that. So there's no chiyuv on anybody to eat bread and to make a bracha on it. Therefore, if I already made hamotzi, then I can't make another hamotzi to be motzi you. So im lo yotza motzi. So if you were not yotza yet, then you can say hamotzi, for example, and be motzi another person in the bracha. The im yotza in emotzi. But if you did, if you already said the bracha yourself, the birkas ananin, then you cannot say it again on behalf of somebody. Then you cannot say it to be motzi somebody else. The other person is going to have to make the bracha themselves. Because again, unlike mitzvahs, where you can say arevos, when it comes to hana, there's no arevos. Boy, Rava. So now Rava asks the question. When you're talking about, so now we have to remember that sometimes you have hamotzi and you have hagafen, which are part of a mitzvah. So you're talking about, Ava is clearly talking about, there's no question that what Ava is saying applies to a regular hamotzi during the week, or a regular hagafen or other birkas hananin during the week. But what about birkas alechem shel matzah or birkas hayayin shel kiddush hayoyim mahu? What about when it comes to hamotzi for achilas matzah? So again, there's no question you can be motzi other people with the bracha al achilas matzah, even if you already ate your matzah, and now you're going to somebody else's house to run the seder for them. But what about the hamotzi before that? Or birkas hayayin shel kiddush hayom, and what about the bracha b'rei pri hagafen from kiddush? Again, the bracha of asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos of b'rotza banu, obviously you could say for them, because that's a birkas hamitzvos, but what about the bracha b'rei pri hagafen if you already heard kiddush? Mahu, what would be the din with those? Kiven de choyva hu matik, would we say, since there's an obligation to make those brachas, because after all, eating matzah is an obligation, hearing kiddush is an obligation, and necessarily that implies that you have the hanah, and again, the hanah necessarily requires the bracha, because you can't benefit from something from Hashem's world without a bracha. So therefore, maybe it's considered something that you could be motzi, matik, therefore you can be motzi the other person, or maybe we'd say, after all, the birkas hanah, the hamotzi or the hagopen, is not the choiva of the mitzvah itself, because after all, it's not unique to that mitzvah. You say hamotzi anytime you're eating bread, you say hagopen anytime you're drinking wine. So maybe therefore it would be in the category of regular birkas hananin that you can't be motzi somebody else. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof. The Amar Rav Ashi, ki havenon beir Rav Papi. Rav Ashi says, when we were talmidim in the house of Rav Papi, have a makadosh lon, he would make kiddush for us. V'chiyave osya arise midabra. And then when his sharecroppers came from the fields, so like this, in other words, they're working on Friday. By the time they come home, it's already very close to Shabbos, or maybe even Shabbos has already started. So have a makadosh lahu, he would also make kiddush for them, and the full kiddush, meaning hagofen and makadosh Shabbos. So you see, therefore, that yes, even though you already yotze kiddush, you can still make the bracha hagofen again for somebody else. It does bring in Shulchan Aruch, there are poskim who say that that's only if the other person doesn't know how to make kiddush. If the other person knows how to, then maybe better they should do it for themselves. But there is also, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, it does have to be that you yourself were yotze with that kiddush. Now we know, for example, you need kiddush makom soda. So if you made kiddush for somebody and you didn't then eat mezonos or drink another revius of wine or wash or whatever, and now later so that you weren't yotze that kiddush, then you can't then you have a problem making kiddush for somebody else afterwards, because then you weren't yotze with the first one. Then you weren't yotze with the first one at all. So it comes out that the first one was kind of a bracha levatala. So therefore, if you're going to make kiddush for somebody else, then you also have something to eat. And then afterwards, you'll be able to make kiddush for them. Although, again, it does say, some of the posts can say that maybe it's better if they can make kiddush themselves, that they should do so. Okay. Further on this topic, the Gemara says, Tanan Abana, we learn in a Braista, Lo yifris adam prusa la'orchin elem ken oichli mahem. A person should not break bread and make hamotzi for the guests unless he's eating with them. So we're talking about on a weekday or even on Shabbos, you have a chiyuv of lechem mishnah, but that's not considered really so much of a birkas hamitzvahs. So you shouldn't, so you can't make hamotzi for them, elem ken oichli mahem, unless he's eating with them. Because again, the bracha hamotzi is a birkas hananin, where it's not tied together with a mitzvah, then you can't be making it for them unless you yourself are yotze. Ava poros u'lebonu v'livnei beisai, but he can cut the bread and make hamotzi for his children and for his family, meaning including his wife, in order to train them in mitzvahs. In other words, he can tell them how to say the bracha hamotzi, even though he himself is not saying the bracha, because it's part of chinuch to teach them how to say the bracha. Over halal of a megillah, but now when it comes to saying halal and making the bracha likreis a halal, or by the megillah and saying the brachas on that, afa pisha yotza motzi, then even if you were yotza already saying halal or reading the megillah, you can be motzi other people, because again, those are birkas and mitzvahs. And when it comes to mitzvahs, we say ko yisrael reivim zelazeh, and until the other person has done the mitzvah, your fulfillment of the mitzvah is incomplete. Again, when it comes to if you're laning for women, then you have the same issue as you do that I was mentioning just before, as far as blowing shofar, where you have a difference whether you're laning for Ashkenazi or Sephardi women. But if you're laning for other men, then we're saying you can say the bracha no problem, because they themselves are definitely chayiv. Actually, Megillah is different now that I think of it. Megillah, we're going to learn in Masech and Megillah, women are chayiv in as well. So that's actually a different situation. But okay. Hadron alach ru'ul basically. Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, when the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, v'mikdash hayotoken avaloi b'medina, they would blow shofar in the mikdash, but not in the medina. Now Rashi and Tosfos explain over here that mikdash means the base mikdash itself, and medina means everywhere else, including the entire city of Yerushalayim. We're going to see now, we'll discuss after we go through the Mishnah, that Tosfos has some problems with that, how that should be so. So we'll get to that. The Rambam actually learns that Mikdash over here means the entire city of Yerushalayim, and Medina means everywhere else in the world. There are innumerable Maimorich Siddurs on this one line of the Mishnah. The Mikdash show you token of Aloba Medina. How could it be that we're going to end up saying in the Gemara that's Zera Dirabanan not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? How could the Chachamim take away a mitzvah? Now, not the question is not so much how they could take away a mitzvah. They have the right to when it's a Shev Val Tasa. The Gemara tells us that in Yevamos. But shofar is such an important thing. Tamlichuni Aleichem. How could the Chachamim be mevatel just because of a chashash like that? So you have, of course, innumerable maimorim that talk about that point, and they make a point. Some briefer, some longer. Some of them are, of course, entire hemsheichim, like Samach Vav, that talk about the idea of what shofar accomplishes in terms of bringing down all the course into the world, and that Shabbos accomplishes the same thing, and therefore we don't need shofar blowing in the Medina, however we do in the Bis Mikdash, because in the Bis Mikdash, the shofar blowing is on a higher level. Interesting point that Rebbe made in some sichas, including some from before the Nesius, why the Mishnah uses the expression Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. Just say Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. And the point is, because given that those Maimorim explain that when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, we don't need to do the Avodah of Kiyas Shofar to awaken Hashem's desire to rule over us again. It gets accomplished automatically by Shabbos, as it discusses in those Maimorim. Then therefore, it's more of a Yom Tov for us, because we know that Inyan was completely fulfilled. When we have to do the Kiyas Shofar, there's always the question, did we do it right? Did we actually bring out the Tamlichuni Aleichem? But when it's on Shabbos and we don't have to do anything, so then we have a much greater Yom Tov, because we know that everything was accomplished the way it needs to be. Therefore, that's why the Mishnah uses the expression Yom Tov. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Shiur Token B'chol Mokam Shiesh Beit Beis Din. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a takana that they should blow shofar in every place where there is a Beis Din. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Ela B'Yavne Bovad. So Rabbi Elazar says it wasn't every place that there was a Beis Din, only in Yavne, which is where the Sanhedrin moved after the Churban, as we're actually going to learn in a couple of days in the Gemara. Amrulai, the Chum said to Rabbi Elazar, that's not so. Echad Yavna ve Echad Kamakam sheyesh be Beis Din, whether Yavna or any place where there's a Beis Din, the same rule applies. You can blow shofar on Shabbos. Well, at the end of the Amr, the Gemara is going to point out that you see why the Chacham repeating that point. They already said that they already said b'chol makom sheyesh beis din. So we'll see that in the Gemara. There is, by the way, Machlokes. We're showing him what kind of beis din are we talking about. Do you need a beis din? Do you need the Sanhedrin? Do you need a beis din of? Rashi says over here that a beis din of 23 would be enough. So according to Rabbi Elazar, only the one in Yavne. According to the Chachamim, anywhere else. The Rif says even a beis din of 3 would be enough. You also have, do they have to have smicha ish mipiyish? There's a famous thing. It says the Rif blew shofar in his beis din on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. So the Rebbe actually talked about it in some places in Sichas that it's possible, maybe we could say that the Rif actually still had the smicha ish mipiyish, even though officially it went extinct a few hundred years before him. Maybe it continued among some people and maybe the Rif was able to get it. But but on the other hand, the Rif may hold that you don't even need smicha, that any based in shel shloisha is a valid place to blow shofar. Continues the Mishnah, but oid zois hois Yerushalayim yiser al Yavne. Now, Yerushalayim also had another advantage as far as blowing shofar on Shabbos over Yavne. Shekol ir shehi roya, any city near Yerushalayim from which they could see Yerushalayim, the Shemas, and hear the sounds of the shofar from Yerushalayim, or Kroiva, and near enough, in other words, within the Tum, the Yechola Lava, and they're able to come to Yerushalayim. We'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, Best Hashem, what all those criteria mean. So if they're near enough to be able to see and hear and actually be able to come, Toikin, then they're allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos in those places. But in Yavna, only in the Beis Din. Now, here's where Tosfos asks, if we're saying that, according to Tosfos, that Mikdash means only the Beis Mikdash, and Medina means the rest of Yerushalayim, so you're telling me before the Churban they weren't allowed to blow in Yerushalayim on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias, Shabbos, only in the Beis Mikdash, but now we're saying after the Churban, so when are we talking about this time that we're saying that Yerushalayim has the advantage that not only Yerushalayim, but also the areas nearby? After the Churban, now with Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai's new Takana, you have a new concept that they can blow in Yerushalayim if there are any people there. I mean, it was destroyed, but if there are any people there, not only they're allowed to, but even the surrounding cities if they're nearby. Different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities. For one thing, we're going to learn in a couple of days that the Sanhedrin was originally in the Lishkas HaGadis. Later on, at some period before the Churban, they moved into the city of Yerushalayim itself. Maybe at that point, the Takana was made that they can blow in the whole city of Yerushalayim and in the outlying areas that we're mentioning in our Mishnah. And then after the Churban, then there's nobody left in Yerushalayim, so then they transferred to Yavne, but they said only in Yavne, they didn't extend this din to the surrounding areas like they did to Yerushalayim. According to the Rambam, there's to begin with no question, because according to the Rambam, we're saying that to begin with, even before any Takana, they were able to blow in the whole Yerushalayim, because according to him, that's the definition of Mikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says, Menohani Nili, where do we know this from, that you're not allowed to blow shofar outside the Mikdash on Shabbos? Amar of Levi Balachma, Amar of Chama Bachanina, because we have to look at two psukim. Kosuv Echad Omer Shabbosin Zichrin Tshua. One pasuk says that Rosh Hashanah is a time of rest, a remembrance of Tshua, implying that you only remember the Tshua, you just say the psukim of Shofaris, or Kosuv Echad Omer Yom Tshua Yelachem. A different pasuk says it's a day of blowing shofar. So what is it? And the answer is like Kasha, can be Yom Tov Shechalias B'Shabbos, can be Yom Tov Shechalias B'Chol. It depends whether Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos or on a weekday. So on Shabbos, you only say the Psukim, it's Zichur and Shura, and on the weekdays, you actually blow. In fact, we have a couple of places in Davening where we do that, where we have in places in the Piyutim where it says something about Shura, and on Shabbos, instead, we say Zichur and Shura. However, Omar Rava, Imi Daraisa, Hima Mikdash Hechi Takinan. But Rava says, if that's the case, if it's actually a distinction Daraisa, then how do we have an exemption for the Beis Mikdash? The Torah doesn't say any such distinction. And besides which, anyway, why would Tkiyas Shofar even be also Daraisa anyway, such that you would need a posit on Shabbos, such that we would need a posit to tell us don't do it on Shabbos? Holav Malachah Morti. After all, it's not a malacha such that we should need the Torah to tell us not to do it. Tkiyas Shofar is not a malacha. Or in other words, Tosfos says the Gemara's question is if it's a malacha, of course it's also. We don't need a pasuk to tell us that it's also. The other way around. If it's not a malacha, then of course there's no reason to answer it. If it's a malacha, you would say, okay, the fact is the Torah tells you to blow shofar, but I'm telling you an exception on Shabbos. But the fact is, Rav is saying it's not even a malacha in the first place. So why is there even a havamina? Why is there a havamina? Why indeed would the Torah answer it on Shabbos? The Tanah Dvei Shmuel, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Shmuel, when the pasuk says kol melechas avoida lo sasu, when it says on Yom Tovim don't do any melechas avoida, and on Shabbos it says kol melacha lo sasu, means yotzef tkiyas shofar, meaning that it's the word melacha excludes blowing shofar or the dias hapas and taking bread out of the oven. Shehi chachma ve'en melacha. Those things are a chachma. They're a skill. They're not a melacha. Tosfos points out that there could be two different kinds of taking out bread when it's still dough versus when it's baked. But in other words, here we're talking about when it's already baked. So there is a skill in taking it out so it doesn't fall to the bottom of the oven. Because remember, there are ovens, you stuck the bread onto the side of the oven. But in any case, those midoraisa at least are not also. So why would it be also on Rosh Hashanah Shachalis for Shabbos? Ella Omar Rabba Midaraisa Mishra Shoyi. So no, Rabba says Midaraisa, sure you'd be allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. But Rabbanon who did Gozerbe, the Chachamim made the Gzera against it, Kid Rabba. And the reason is because of what Rabba said, the Omar Rabba, Hakol Chayavim Rikiyas Shofar. We know that everybody is chayav to blow shofar, the Einakol Bekin Rikiyas Shofar, but not everybody knows how to blow shofar. So Gzera Shemi Yitlanu B'Yondoi, we have to make a Gzera that the person might on Shabbos take the shofar in his hands. The Yelech Eitzel Abaki Lumud, go to an expert to learn how to blow shofar. The Yavirenu, Dalad Amos, Rishos Rabim, and he's going to end up carrying it for Amos and Rishos Rabim, and he's giving him Chalal Shabbos. Behind time of the Lulav, behind time of the Megillah, and those are the same reasons why you don't take Lulav on Shabbos and why you don't read Megillah on Shabbos. All of that is because of this Gzera de Rabba, we call it. And not Gzera de Rabba, not that he made the Gzera, but he's explaining the Gzera, which the Chachamim made in an earlier time. All of them is because he might carry it in Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos over here, and also we learned it in Sukkah, points out why the Gemara doesn't mention the fact that he might carry it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So he brings from a Rashi in Sukkah, because after all, you could have cases where you pick it up, not intending to carry it out. And then, in fact, if you do carry it out, then you're not over on a Malacha Daraisa because you didn't do the Akira with intention to carry it out. Tosfos gives a different reason because when you're walking out your door, you have a heker. You notice there's the door over there. You notice you're going from your house to the street, so you're likely to stop. On the other hand, walking in Rosh Hashanah Abim, you may not realize that you already walked 4 hours. So therefore, it focuses on that rather than on the carrying it out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Abim. I saw a cute quote about it from the Kotzker. Now there's a concept, the Chalal, the Gemara talks about in the Masechta Shabbos. You have how is a person ever chayev for carrying something 4 amas in Rosh Hashanah? He keeps on putting down his feet and picking it up. He never walks 4 amas at a time. So the halacha is we say mahalach lav ka'omid. We say just because he's walking is not considered like he's standing. It's still considered one continuous thing, and therefore he's chayev. You have the Gemara mentions over there an opinion of Ben Azai that in fact he wouldn't, the Yerushalmi mentions in that connection an opinion of Ben Azai that says that itaka wouldn't be chayev unless he jumped 4 amas. But if he took a walk, picked up 1 foot and put it down, Ben Azai would say he's not chayav. So the Kotzker says a vote on that. That's why we mentioned over here carrying 4 amas in Rosh Hashanah Abim. A person should be so eager to be doing the mitzvah of shofar and Megillah and Lulav that he's going to be jumping 4 amas in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and he might conceivably be over then. He might be b'mchal Shabbos then, not realizing because he's so eager to find out how to do it from the Chacham. Therefore, we make this zera that he should. Now that's the bottom line. That's why we don't do these mitzvahs on Shabbos. And again, you have all those explanations in Chassidus of the deeper idea behind it, because Shabbos accomplishes what we would have accomplished through those mitzvahs on if it was a weekday.